Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 28th day of July, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the winds of change and exorcism. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy, which means separated, remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Embeth. Callers are welcome. We do ask that you keep comments and or questions as short as possible to allow others to participate. And a reminder that we are in the question and answer mode. Pretty much what that means is one at a time, as you signal me to be put into the queue that you have a comment or question, I will address it and then we'll leave it open for somebody else. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And again, that's pastordan.net, and that's altogether no spaces. And on that website, of course, you'll find a lot of information. I keep adding to it almost on a daily basis, so you want to check it. Also, I cannot send out a whole lot by email anymore, so there's a lot of information I put up there. Most of it I do not send out by email because of the trouble, the censorship that's going on, and they're blocking a lot of it, particularly Gmail, and lately even Comcast I've had trouble with. So you want to go there and check for the Daily Mail and the other pages where information and links are put there. A lot of education can be had. And we've got new people coming on board all the time. I just got our good friend John Kaminsky just sent me a referral to a person that lives over on the west coast of Florida. So again, for some reason, the middle part of Florida just keeps showing up with lots and lots of links, lots and lots of people, patriots, believers, activists, researchers, journalists, even Renegade Tribune is headquartered here in Central Florida on the eastern side, but still it's in Central Florida. So for some reason, and we do know that the English word florid, which is the major part of Florida, florid means to be rough, ruddy, or show blood in the face. So that's exactly what Adam means, Adam in the Hebrew. Rough, ruddy complexion to show blood in the face, which is a white man. Okay, and a lot of people confuse who is and who isn't white. I've had people tell me that, well, you know, Jews are white. No, they're not. And you can go to the Jewish Encyclopedia, you can go to Almanacs, you can go to Encyclopedia Britannica, and many other sources, including rabbis, that will tell you that to call a modern-day Jew an Israelite or a white person is actually a misnomer. They are not white. They are not Caucasian. They are not of Adam kind. That's why they behave the way they do. I mean, look at this Jeffrey Epstein thing that's going on. That should be a gigantic wake-up call to white people everywhere. All right? He is of the Jewish race. We don't give a damn who is a Jew by religion. All right? That's a facade anyway. That's a cover. We care about them as a race because the Bible treats them as a race of people. Vipers, thieves. As Christ said, Edom Esau. That's why the two prophets, Obadiah and Ezekiel, told us at some point Yahweh is going to remove them from this world. Because they're a cancer upon this world. Now, Robert David Steele still likes to differentiate between Zionists and so-called Torah Jews or those that practice Judaism. But what he's mistaking is even those who claim to be conservative Jews still read the Talmud. They still follow the teachings in their holy book called the Talmud. All right, so they are Talmud followers, and they follow the teachings of their rabbis, who are demented teachers of that sick book. And that's what I don't understand, why Robert David Steele, who's obviously a very intelligent individual, why he hasn't figured that out yet. Okay, yeah, it's obvious the Zionists are nothing more than Bolshevik communist Jews, but that does not excuse the rest of them that follow the teachings of the Talmud, where you will find that child rape is okay, where you will find that murdering the unborn is okay, where sending our sons and daughters off to wars to bleed and die for Jewish causes and Jewish money is okay, for them to treat us as cattle, that we have no standing in courts or standing before a Jew, is okay, all right? Well, Robert David Steele, I got news for you. That's not okay with me. Stop giving them a pass. Are you afraid of the backlash or what? No, Jews are Jews. Jews, as far as I know, don't differentiate between themselves on being happy that they murdered the Christ. They consider him a blasphemer. How do you overlook that, Robert? I'm really curious. I hope you do an interview with Greg Hunter or X22 or SGT Report in the near future where you can explain to me how it's okay that they murdered the Christ, but all of a sudden now they're good guys. A perfect man who committed no sin was the anointed of Yahweh, and they murdered him. Now, if they can murder the Christ, where do you and I stand a chance with these people? You want to know why you can't get justice in a court of law? Who do you think runs the courts? The Talmudists, for the most part. You might luck out just by chance sometime and end in front of an actual Anglo-Saxon man, and maybe even an Anglo-Saxon man who's a believer. That's rare. But if you do, that's just luck of the draw. The majority of the time, you'll end up in a Jewish-run courthouse with a Jewish judge or a minority that's under Jewish influence. And you wonder why you, as a white believer in Yahshua, can't get justice. Well, go read the Talmud, and you'll find out why you can't get justice. You're an animal to these people. That's a fact. Rabbis lately have been very outspoken about it because they don't think we can do a damn thing to stop them now. So they're bold, exactly as the prophet said and as Christ told us. Their hubris, their vanity will be their undoing. They're so vain, they are so full of themselves that they don't think we, the people of the world, can stop them. I got news for you. When I say the winds of change are coming, they certainly are. Even Jim Willey, and I believe it was even Robert David Steele, were talking about the new financial system that's coming to this earth. The dollar is going to go away. The petrodollar is going to go away. The Zionist fiat currency system that has a stranglehold on this earth is going to go away, exactly as the book of Revelation says. It's an economic collapse that's about ready to come down on the ears and the heads of the people of earth. The major people that will do the bitching about it will be, of course, government people, which are numbering in the multiple tens of millions anymore, the bloodsuckers working in the government. Okay, the bankers, of course, will be bitching and moaning, and the merchants are going to be bitching and moaning, because there's a huge movement right now to come away from Babylon, to come out of this mercantile, materialistic system and get back to living simply off the land. You see, they wanted perpetual consumers. They want you to be down at the stores buying things constantly. That's why you have a house that can't last more than 30 or 40 years, and it's starting to fall apart. You've got air conditioning systems that you're lucky if you get 8 years out of them before they start falling apart. You are constantly having to spend what? Money. That's instant power for the Jew. Instant power. As soon as you have to have money. Did Yahweh put mankind upon the earth to be enslaved to the bankers? Or did he set you on the earth as free men and women to live upon the land? The land belongs to our Father. It doesn't belong to individuals. And it sure as hell doesn't belong to governments. So get that out of your head right now. This land, this earth, is his creation. It belongs to him. We are just sojourners upon the land. And that's as long as we behave ourselves. Well, guess what? We are destroying this poor earth. And there's a warning in Isaiah at chapter 13 that we're going to read. I wanted to share with you, it came upon me this morning, that we need to take heed of what Isaiah tells us here. Now, this is talking about the past, but it applies to present day, us in the present day. Just listen to this warning of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. Just listen to what he says here in chapter 13. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw, set up a banner on the bare mountain. Lift up your voice to them, wave your hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my consecrated ones. Whoa, wait a minute. I have commanded my consecrated ones. Who are consecrated? Isn't that another way of saying anointed? Consecrated, isn't that another way of saying holy? That's what the word holy means. To be set apart or consecrated. Are you consecrated to the living God, Yahweh? Are you? Or are you consecrated to man-made government? You can't be consecrated to both. You have to choose one or the other. So he says here, I have commanded my consecrated ones. Yes, I have called my mighty men for my anger. Even my proudly exalted ones. The noise of a multitude is in the mountains, as of a great people. Does this remind you of Ezekiel chapter 37? And that Ezekiel 37 army? The noise of an uproar of the kingdoms of the nations gathered together. Yahweh of armies is mustering the army for the battle. Interesting. It's funny, Jamie Walden, who is a military vet, also a first responder, young man out there in Iowa, wrote an interesting book, Omega Dynamics, where he applies his training as a soldier, and he wrote the book and dedicated it to arming Christian people, particularly the men, for the war that is coming. I just finished the book. It's an interesting book. A lot of pertinent information in there for our men, our warriors today. You might want to consider it. And he knows the proper names of Yahshua and Yahweh, by the way. So that's also interesting. Another sign of the times. Changes are coming. They come from a far country, from the uttermost part of heaven. Even Yahweh and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land or earth. Wail, as in cry out, for the day of Yahweh is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will be feeble, and everyone's heart will melt. Can you see that happening today? I can. There's a lot of people. They've got consternation, anxiety. Why do you think the Jewish-run pharmaceutical industry loves it? with all this chaos and turmoil, because people are on Prozac and all these other artificial drugs when all you have to do is get high on Yahweh. That's all. In fact, a young Army veteran called John X. Army did a video about an epiphany he had recently where he cleaned up his diet. He got the fluoride out of his water. He started eating raw fruits and vegetables, started fasting from meat for periods of time, not completely, but for periods of time. And he's had a huge epiphany, a spiritual awakening. And I would highly recommend people go to watch that. It sounds a little New Agey in the fact that he talks about love and everything else so much, but the point he's trying to make is that your diet is how they're poisoning you, folks. They're poisoning you through the food and the water. You just haven't figured it out yet. Fluoride is only one of the things in the water that you have to be concerned with. So the awakening is going on in full force, and people are having epiphanies. They are becoming much more spiritual, which is what the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel is talking about. They're putting on flesh again, bone and sinew. They're becoming walking men, Adam, upon the land, because they've been spiritually dead for many, many years. Picking up again here at verse 8, they will be dismayed. Pangs and sorrows will seize them. They will be in pain like a woman in labor. They will look in amazement at one another. Their faces will be faces of flame, meaning hot. You've ever seen somebody angry or frustrated? Their faces become hot, flush, like a flame. Behold, the day of Yahweh comes, cruel, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and to destroy its sinners out of it. Now, this cracks me up. There's a lot of people say, "Oh, I can't believe in the God of the Old Testament, Dan, because you know he's an angry God and he's full of wrath and he commands people to be destroyed." And I just can't do that because I'm all about love, Dan. Jesus, he was a hippie and he walked around in that flowing robe and sandals and he had his long hair, so he's like a hippie, you know, and he had a daisy stuck in his tunic. So, you know, he was like a hippie, Dan, and he's all about love. He just loves everybody, and if you got two arms and two legs, you're part of his family. And, you know, that's the kind of thing I want to do. I want to be a Jesus follower. Hey, you simpletons out there, let me know how that works out for you when you go downtown, let's say in Dallas or Chicago or Philadelphia, with your hippie attitude, and you put up a small pup tent in downtown Philly. Let me know how that hippie, freaky, love everybody works for you down there amongst the animals in South Central Philadelphia. Let me know how that works. I mean, you got to be a complete moron if you think that that's going to save you. Complete moron. The Bible teaches common sense. Yahweh teaches common sense. Yahshua, his anointed, taught common sense. To think that you can go around preaching love, 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 and the world is just going to behave itself is stupid. It would be the same thing as you, as mom and dad, preaching love to your children every day, but you don't ever discipline them, and you wonder why they grow up to be hellions. And don't throw the 1 in 10,000 exemptions or exceptions to the rule to me, please. I don't give a damn about the 1 in 10,000 that somehow make it through without violating that. Because odds are you're going to end up with a spoiled child if they don't have any discipline. And that's even in your Bible. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Discipline. When you read the Old Testament and the laws of our Heavenly Father, and it talks about punishments, it's not punishing those that obey the rules. It's not talking about punishing those who respect their neighbors and their neighbor's property. Where in here does it say that? Where does it ever say, oh, just go into some random village and annihilate every man, woman, and child? That's not what it says. That shows ignorance of the Bible. The only villages or towns where the Israelites were told to go in and exterminate everything were full of sexual disease and perversion. The people there practiced bestiality, and in case you don't know what that is, that means sex with animals. They practiced homosexuality, so there was all kind of disease and violence associated with that lifestyle. They also practiced incense amongst their own family members, which creates all kinds of mental and psychological problems. So these towns were full of sick, mentally ill, and diseased individuals. And so they were told to exterminate them, even the animals in some cases. Why? Because the animals can also be polluted. That's why. It wasn't because he hated those people or it was a random act of violence. These people had literally become so defiled and sick that it was the only thing you could do if you care about decent people. If you care about loved ones. If you care about those who obey the law. But you see, the enemy wants you to focus on the cruelty of it. And so we have a lot of soft-hearted individuals out there, primarily the women.
Well, Dan, I just don't like all that violence. Can't we just love each other and get along with each other, please? Please, Dan, can't we?
Well, I got news for you. Yeah, we can. Once we clean out all of the dirt and disease and the wicked, which is exactly what Isaiah is talking about here. So he says right here, and to destroy the sinners, and sinners are what? Those that violate his law, out of it, and the purge is coming. We were told it would be just as it was in the days of Noah before the coming of Messiah. Weren't we told that? So what was it like in the days of Noah? The same thing, right? A lot of diseased individuals. Look at the world today. Look at all the porn stars and drag queens now coming into your schools and your churches. Your churches are dens of iniquity, whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. That's what your churches are today. I pray that none of you step foot in any of those dens of iniquity with the prostitute preachers up there. That's what we've become. Verse 10, for the stars of the sky and its constellations will not give their light. That's an allegory, by the way, meaning the stars of heaven are us. Who shines light on this dark world? People with common sense, people with decency, people who know right from wrong. We are the ones that shine light. It says here, for the stars of the sky and the constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going out, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. Again, ignorance will be over the land. What do we have today? Ignorance everywhere. Not just ignorance of Yahweh and his law, ignorance of common sense, common decency. It's gone. I will punish the world, for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. Now, where in that verse is it saying, I'm going to punish people because I just like violence? You know, I like going out and chopping off people's heads and putting spears through their bellies. Yeah, I get a kick out of that. Where does it say that? Any true warrior of Yahweh out there, the last thing they want to do is have to take somebody's life. None of us want to have to do that. But by God, if you're going to violate me or my family, you've asked for violence. If you're trying to push your perversions on me or my family, you've asked that we become violent, that we defend ourselves. And we have a right to defend ourselves, both morally and constitutionally. I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease and will humble the haughtiness of the terrible or the wicked. I will make people more rare than fine gold, even a person than the pure gold of Ophir or Ophir. How about that? What's it say in the Bible? Oh, that's right. The path that leads to salvation is narrow. My flock is a tiny flock. And right here, I will make people, meaning the people that survive, the righteous people, will become as rare as gold. What are righteous people today in this world? What are righteous people today in this world, if not rarer than fine gold? Tell me. Now remember, fine gold is out there. It's just hard to find. People with integrity and honesty are out there. It's just hard to find them. They're scattered like salt. Isn't that what the book says? I'll scatter you like salt. And indeed, we are scattered like salt. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken out of its place in Yahweh of armies' wrath, and in the day of his fierce anger. It will happen that like a hunted gazelle and like sheep that no one gathers, they will each turn to their own people and will each flee to their own land. Everyone who is found will be thrust through. And again, we're talking about the wicked and evil. They will be thrust through. Everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their infants also will be dashed in pieces before their eyes. Whoa! And their houses will be ransacked and their wives raped. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, who will not value silver, and as for gold, they will not delight in it. Well, where have I read that before? Oh, that's right, in the book of Revelation. Their gold and silver will be as nothing. There's a day coming when the righteous will stand up and say, I'm going to do the right thing, whether it makes me money or not. And all of your Jewish blood money, all your Jewish blood-soaked shekels, isn't going to do you a damn bit of good. You see, if we had true justice, Jeffrey Epstein would be already hanging from the end of a rope. But he's got a lot of Jewish shekels behind him, both in his own pockets and in his sponsors' pockets. And so for him to actually see justice, it'll take an act of Yahweh. Because we don't have righteousness in the world. That's why Yahweh, according to Ezekiel, is going to bring it about. Their bows will dash the young men in pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes will not spare children, meaning young people. Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be like when Yahweh overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. So modern-day Babylon is what? This Jewish, fake, phony, credit card-living world we live in. It will never be inhabited, neither will it be lived in from generation to generation. Again, Isaiah 13. So, judgment's coming, folks. All you got to do is look out and see the wickedness of this world. We can't even tell our own children that you're a boy or a girl. We've allowed the Jewish Talmud believing court system to tell family members they have to honor a child that says, well, you know, I don't know what sex I want to be yet. Or in the case of a friend of mine was telling me that he met a lady who he thought was pretty much wrapped tight, and turns out she thinks that race mixing's okay. Well, she's already living in hell because two of her children want to be either another sex or they want to be queers. All right, so you're going to watch your own family members destroyed. That's the living in hell part, folks. Just like your bodies, you don't want to get the filters to filter your water. You don't want to go to the trouble of trying to find a farmer or a farmer's market that's actually growing food the way Yahweh intended. You don't want to do that, and then you wonder why you suffer the medical problems that you do because of your polluted food and water. You see, you're already under judgment. You just don't even know it. Okay, that's the judgment. That's the salvation that the Greek language is talking about, that trust and belief in Yahweh will bring about your salvation. It has nothing to do with praying the sinner's prayer and being imbued with the Holy Spirit and falling on the floor and acting like a complete retard, bouncing all over the place and babbling in some unknown tongue. I'm sorry. A lot of people say that that's for real, but I've never seen it. I've never seen it legitimate in any of the Pentecostal churches that I personally have gone to. Now, does that mean that there's no place on earth where actual spirit-filled Christians or believers have had that experience? I'm not saying that because I haven't been all over this earth. I'm just telling you in my lifetime, I have never, ever seen a legitimate episode of that. It's all fake. It's all fake. And I'm going to tell you another thing. These so-called churches with those kind of Pentecostals in it were some of the most hypocritical and evil organizations I was ever in. Oh, they know how to be nice as far as having a Sunday social and telling you that, we're your friends and welcome to church and all that. But when they got a chance to gossip, when they got a chance to stick a knife in another member of the church's back, when they had a chance to sneak around with their neighbor's wife, when they had a chance to steal your property, they were worse than the average person. Worse. And again, I'm relating my personal experience here. I'm not trying to tell you the whole world is this way. I'm telling you what I saw with my own eyes and heard with my own ears. You judge for yourself. I'm just telling you, don't shut off your antenna. Don't shut off your early warning system just because you go into a building that's called a church and think that the people in there are for real. I'm going to tell you, many of these whitewashed sepulchers are evil. They're not only not of Yahweh, they're actually evil. And these preachers today are scum of the earth. By any measure you want to use, they are scum of the earth. Now, we talked about two agendas that we're talking about, the winds of change that are coming, and believe me, they're coming. In the financial world, it's going to come big time, and it's going to come very, very soon. Now, interestingly enough, we've been on the radio now for 20 years, very close to 20 years, and we've been telling you about a lot of this stuff during that 20 years. And again, if you don't believe it, just go back into the archives and listen to some of the old programs. So to say that you weren't warned, oh no, you've been told. Now, some people say, well, yeah, but that you told us that 15 years ago, so why should I pay attention to it? Because that's called a very long lead time for you to make preparations. If you know something is coming, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Many of the things that we talked about over the past 20 years are coming to fruition. In fact, I had a very dear relative, very close relative of mine, just the other day told me that, Danny, I used to think you were completely out there, meaning crazy. But she said, lately, I've had to realize that many of the things you talk about are true. And yet these same people continue to eat pork, continue to eat shellfish, continue to think Jews are somehow good people. Okay? They'll admit that over a 20-year period, most everything I told them that this country was going to become has come true, and yet they don't listen when I tell them about the medical mafia. They don't listen when I tell them about doctors. They don't listen when I tell them about cancer. They don't listen when I tell them to go to a naturopathic doctor. They don't listen when I tell them to filter their water. They don't listen about a lot of other things. But they'll admit that I was right about all these other things politically, etc. It's amazing to me. That's why I say, people think sometimes it's cold when I say I don't give a damn what you do. Well, I don't give a damn about what you do with the truth I give you, because if I did, I would not sleep at night. I would have stomach ulcers, and I would be in a constant state of depression, because our people are the most stiff-necked ignoramuses on this earth. They truly, truly, truly are. It's all about them. It's all about what Eve was told. You can be gods unto yourselves. That's what Nakash, the serpent, not a snake, a man, a deceiver, an enchanter. That's what Nakash means. It doesn't mean a damn snake on the ground. Stop listening to these babbling idiots that claim to be the preachers of God's word to you. That's ridiculous. Eve was talking to a snake that slithers on the ground. Which makes more sense? She was talking to a deceiving man or a snake on the ground? Which do you think it was? If you were going to translate the ancient Hebrew and you had the translator's manual there and you had your quill and your inkwell and you had a papyrus there and you had this ancient text and you come across the word Nakash, now how would you have interpreted it? A lying, deceiving, enchanting type man or a snake on the ground? And yet your Bibles in English write it as if it's a reptile, when in fact it's just picture a hook-nosed Jew talking to Eve and you'd be closer to the truth. Eve, don't worry. Don't worry. I've got the courts rigged. Don't worry. You don't have to listen to Adam, your husband. You can be a god unto yourself, Eve. You can make your own rules. You don't need these men. We can give you vibrators. We can give you artificial insemination. We can say it's okay to race mix, so you don't need to listen to that white man that I put on earth first. You don't need to, Eve, please. Understand. So you would interpret it as a reptile or an enchanting, deceiving, scum of the earth man with two legs and two arms? It's not hard to figure out, folks. Really, you just have to have an open mind. You have to overcome the brainwashing of the church world and the public school system, which is just part of the same brainwashing mechanism. You just have to be able to open up your eyes to common sense truth. Now, I know a lot of people that's hard, but it's not impossible. It can be done. Many people have done it. They've shown the way. So we talked about exorcism because this world is full of evil people and evil spirits. In fact, John X. Army made a very good point in his presentation on that short YouTube that he just made. He said, now, not only is the food poisoned, for instance, much of the cattle, the chickens, the turkeys and all are full of hormones and antibiotics and all kinds of things that you don't need, but he made a good point, and I know this to be true. What do you think happens when you eat the meat of an animal that's been terrorized? What do you think happens when you eat the meat of an animal that's been caged its whole life and treated as a blob of flesh just to grow fat so it can be put on a hook and butchered and sent into the marketplace? What do you think that animal experiences? I grew up on a farm. In fact, the cattle on our farm, all of them had names. I remember one of them was a Rollo, which was a white face Angus, and a Guernsey that was called, it just jumped out of my head. Allie, I think was what we called her, Allie. So Rollo was because she was reddish with a white face, and the Guernsey was Allie. And we had other names, too, but those are the two that come back to my memory. So we treated them with respect. They were out in the pasture fields. They were never given antibiotics. They were never given hormone shots. And every now and then, Dad would go to the Amish and buy a big steer, and we would raise it and feed it. And it got to live the life of a regular cow. Now, was it right for us to do that? No, because a steer is a castrated bull. And the reason that people back in the 40s and 50s did that is because when you castrate a cow, it gets bigger and fatter. Just like if a man is castrated, he will become bigger and fatter. Castration does that. Now, was it right for our people to do that? No, it was not right. It's not right today. It wasn't right then. You shouldn't do that to an animal. You don't want it done to you. then why the hell do you think it's okay to do it to an animal? Okay? The point being, you take these animals and you put them through this sort of torture and treatment, and you actually think that their meat isn't affected by this trauma and this torture? That energy goes into their body and their meat, and you're eating it. You want to know why so many people have mental problems today and they have a lot of other spiritual issues going on today? Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think that you're eating substances that weren't meant to be put into your body because you're inhumane to the animal kingdom and to the world of vegetables by the hybrid and GMO process? Has it ever dawned on you that you're putting that into your bodies and it does have an effect? So he made a very good point. And again, these people that put this information out there, they may do or say some things in there that you don't agree with, but are you going to throw the whole thing out? Are you going to throw the baby out with the bathwater? That's an old expression. So you're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater because the bathwater is cold now and dirty. You folks may not remember those days, but I do. I remember when the children were taken by the kitchen sink and there was water put into a tub, a small metal tub, and that tub was heated on the wood-burning stove until the water was warm enough, and then the baby was put into the bath water and given a bath right there in the kitchen. I remember seeing that with my own eyes. My grandfather's farm was heated by wood and coal. So was the lady that babysat us. So was my uncle's farm just up the road. Same thing. So a lot of these things that come from the old ways of doing things, I've lived it. I've actually seen it. So again, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Listen to what people have to say, and you would be surprised what you can learn. John X. Army made a very good point there. Not only is it the poisons that they're putting into our meat supply and our vegetables with glyphosate and all of these sprays and Roundup and all of this chemical garbage, but they're also terrifying the animals. They're mistreating the animals. Do you ever go to a corporate farm and see how they're raised? They're not actually raised. They're just penned. They're just treated as a blob of tissue that can be wrapped up and sold in the market. And you'll buy it because you think you're getting chicken or turkey or beef or lamb that's been raised as Yahweh intended. No, you're not. And I had a lady tell me here recently she thinks that just eating live animals is something we shouldn't do because it's cruel. Really? Well, I didn't make the rules. Father Yahweh did. And as a naturopath, I know there's elements in meat that we're supposed to have. I've never met a healthy vegan in my life. If they're out there, oh, great. But I haven't met one. Every vegan I've ever met is sickly, got problems. So to say that we're not supposed to eat meat, no. Should we raise animals properly? Yes. Should they be treated and butchered mercifully like the Amish do? Yeah. No doubt about it. We're not supposed to be cruel. However, in the old days, most of the animals that were butchered for food were the older animals. They were older animals. They were going to pass on anyway. Say chickens that no longer lay eggs, okay, because they're too old. Well, that's a sign that they're near their end anyway. So if you don't eat them, they're just going to become worm bait. All right? So again, common sense. There's common sense to everything. To disregard the consumption of meat. Now, again, today in our diets, we eat way too much meat, particularly red meat, way, way too much. You're not supposed to eat that much meat. In fact, even when I was a boy, I remember we didn't have a roast or something like that until the Sunday meal. And we're going back quite a few years now, but the Sunday meal is when you actually had what was considered a high-end piece of meat for the family dinner was Sunday dinner. And everybody would get together and share that meal. During the week, there might be some meat, but mostly it was fruits and vegetables and starches and carbohydrates, things such as that. And you know what? They were healthy. I myself don't eat a lot of meat anymore. I still eat meat, but I don't eat much of it, especially red meat. And I'm healthier now than I was 10, 15 years ago. Because, again, it's common sense. Yahweh put us here to use the brains he gave us. He was here so that you can learn and modify your behavior to get in line with his will for this earth. If you're in line with his will, guess what? There's good health, there is emotional stability, there's love, etc., etc., etc. The enemy wants you sick for a couple reasons, you know. Not only is he making money selling you his damn drugs and you going to the damn doctors to pump you full of these drugs, he's making money and preparing you for the war that's coming so that you're not going to be much good to anybody as a soldier. Soldiers that can't think, don't have much strength, don't have much discernment, don't have much loyalty, they're not much soldiers. They're not very good soldiers. So your enemy has a lot of reasons to keep you poisoned and off your best behavior and your best health. So we talked about exorcism and the fact that the world is full of evil spirits. The word exorcise is a transitive verb to expel or attempt to expel one or more evil spirits from a person or place believed to be possessed or haunted by prayers, adjurations, and religious rites. Now, that's a dictionary definition. It comes from the Latin word exorcisare. I guess that's how you pronounce that. And then that comes from the Greek, which is typical. The Latin comes from the Greek. Exorcizine. And it means to adjure. Adjure, which is where we get adjurations that I spoke of in the definition. So what does adjure mean? It means to charge or command earnestly, often under the threat of a penalty, to entreat solemnly, as in to adjure the witness to tell the truth. How about that? Adjurations. So do we exorcise by some religious rite as the Catholic Church does? Or do we exorcise evil spirits and evil people by commanding them out of our existence and out of our lives in the name of Yahweh? Because we have that power. You can overcome evil, folks, by exorcising the evil out of your life. How do we take down the New World Order? Everybody says, well, we don't have enough money. We don't have enough weapons. We don't have this. You know how you take down the New World Order? You walk away from it. How do white men and women stop this white genocide and the Jewish takeover of the entire world? Walk away from it. Stop supporting it. When a Jew makes a statement, don't give it any credibility. That's Satan talking to you. When Jews claim that they can create a law that says it's okay to steal your property or to tax you to death, no, it doesn't. They have no authority. When the television is nothing but propaganda, turn it off. When the radio is nothing but brain-dead DJs talking about the most inane and stupid things, turn it off. Walk away from it. When they got ads to run out and buy something new or some new technology, or what, don't do it. Make your old one last longer. And eventually learn to do without it. These are all traps. These are all strings attached. Everything the New World Order wants to give you has strings attached. Do you ever look at all these idiotic ads, either in the mail or on the tube? They want you they try to get you by saying they're going to give you something. How many times did you open something up? Oh, you could win a timeshare or a free cruise. And you don't think there's strings attached to all of that? That's Satan trying to lure you in. You can be as gods unto yourselves. You're going to know right from wrong. You're going to have great knowledge and power. Just walk away from Yahweh and listen to me. I've got all the shekels. I've locked up all the gold and silver and the shekels. I own your congressmen at the state, local, and federal level. I own them. I own the media that you watch day in and day out. How can you defeat me, says the beast? Well, the man of Yahweh and the woman of Yahweh simply says that, you're right, you got all that, but you know what? There's an on-off button on that television. There's an on-off button on that radio. I don't need the newest car. I don't need the newest cell phone. I don't need the latest, greatest computer. I sure as hell don't need the latest computer games. You can have them all. I don't want them. And a lot of people say, well, Dan, that's awful hard to do. Well, maybe. All I can tell you is I've done it. And people that know me know I've done it. I read books at night. I don't turn on a television. I talk to my neighbors. I talk to friends. I talk to people on the phone. We communicate with one another. We commiserate with each other. We disciple one another. We edify one another, exactly as Christ said. He didn't say go buy the latest electronic device and play computer games till your brain no longer functions. It didn't say go out and buy conveniences till your muscles have atrophied to the point you can't hardly get out of a chair. Go buy the latest drugs and medically approved substances to put in your body until your body's immune system doesn't know up from down. He didn't tell you to do that. The beast told you to do that. You have a choice to follow what the beast says or follow what common sense and the Holy Spirit tell you to do. That's the choice. Everybody has the choice. I like the one saying that says, if you want the world to change, then be the change that you want to see in the world. That was a good one. That was a good one. You want to see this world to be different? Then you be the change. You be the change. Stop telling other people what to do when you yourself are not doing it. You be the change. If you think people should be in better shape, are you getting in better shape? If they should eat a better diet, are you eating a better diet? If they should stop listening to the beast and its propaganda, are you listening to the beast and its propaganda? You think people should be ready to go to war with the beast? Are you prepared to go to war with the beast? Mentally and physically? And I'm going to remind you again that this word that we have so properly identifies the government of today in every nation that I'm aware of. I don't know of a single nation this does not apply to, is a kakistocracy. Governance by the worst elements of society who govern exclusively in their own interests and to the permanent detriment of all other classes. You wonder why your misery? What's the Bible say? When the wicked rule, the people moan. That's in your Bibles, folks. When the wicked rule, the people moan. It also says when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. It's as simple as that. You've allowed the wicked to come to political power and financial power in your lands. You forgot who controls the money controls everything in your society. That's why the founding fathers were very, very clear that only your elected officials, not SES members, not unelected bureaucrats, your elected officials coin money and control the value thereof. People who are beholding to you, people that you have control over, they are the only ones authorized to have anything to do with the currency in your land. And you've given it away completely to not only unelected bureaucrats, but in many cases, aliens and foreign powers now control the issuance of currency in your so-called Christian constitutional republic. However, it's no longer constitutional, so don't say that, because your constitution says that only my elected officials can regulate currency, and only gold and silver, only gold and silver will have value within our land. Only gold and silver. That's in the Constitution. So your government has been unconstitutional and therefore without proper authority for a very long time. These people are criminals. And you say, well, Dan, how can you say that? Because the definition of a criminal is somebody who violates the law. The Constitution is the law of the land. The Constitution's what formed the government. That's why they take an oath of office. And when they violate the Constitution, they have violated the oath of office, and therefore they are operating under the color of law, which makes them what? Criminals. And in some cases, guilty of treason. Isn't it interesting that in some cases now, we're returning to the death penalty? That just happened. Now, I'm being told that it's particularly for those who have committed crimes against children. But, you know, we've had the death penalty for quite some time, but you weren't told about it. There is a death penalty and has always been one if you harm a bureaucrat. If you harm a member of our elitists that govern over us, actually they rule over us, they have always had the death penalty for you if you harm one of them. It was just that the aliens and the criminal element killing your daughter, your son, your wife, they could go to prison or get off with a sentence. But if they harmed a bureaucrat, uh-oh, or if they harmed one of these so-called police officers, oh no, they can be executed for that. You didn't know that? That these elitists never took away the death penalty for themselves? Gee, why don't you know that? With all these journalists and all this news and all these reporters and people that are supposed to be there for your interest, including your Congress critter, they didn't tell you that they set apart themselves as being of more value than you? Where does that come from? Oh, the Talmud. Here we go again. Robert Davis Steele. Let me tell you, a Jew is a Jew. If they follow the teachings of the Talmud, they are our enemies. The enemies of the United States of America, the enemies of all mankind. If they promote, teach, read, and follow the Talmud, they are Talmudists. They are Satanists. They are the bane of all civilized man. So wake up, Robert. You're right on target on many of the things you talk about, but you are dead wrong about the fact that Judaism is okay, Zionism's bad. No, Jews are aliens. Talmudists are aliens, both racially, culturally, and any other way you want to look at them. They were never to have political power in these colonies that became the United States. Never. Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, all of them said that. And they did not say, well, no, Zionists can't be, but it's okay to let Judaism in. Let Judaism into our Christian country. What? No. Founding fathers did not make any exception for Jews. Quite the opposite. They said, in fact, Benjamin Franklin said that it should be in the Constitution specifically that Jews never be allowed to settle in these colonies. And Robert David Steele, I would suggest you get some history books of Europe as to why the founding fathers were so adamant that Jews never be allowed into this country, because they saw firsthand what happens when the Jews got control of Europe, when Jews got control of the Roman Catholic Church, and look what it has become. The great whore that sits on the back of the beast. And I know there's Catholics out there that are, some Catholics. There's actually a revolt or a civil war within the Catholic Church right now. Some Catholics will take offense to that. But, you know, if you're a cult follower, if you're a popist, to where you think that piece of dog meat over there with his little yarmulke on and his little cloak, if you think he is something special, you are a cult follower. If you think the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church circumvent and are paramount to the teachings of the Christ or common sense, you are a cultist, and you are in danger of hell's fire. No doubt about it. And you need to come out of it. You shouldn't follow any cult. That includes Protestantism or Catholicism. Both of them are cult-like. I've been in Protestant churches. You might as well say they're cults. Just like one lady told me one time, well, the King James version of the Bible, Dan, is the only authorized version of the Bible. I said, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, they've got these other translations out there and stuff, Dan. It's only the King James English Bible that's authorized. What, authorized by who? Satan? What do you mean to tell me that there's any English translation that's the only one I'm allowed to use? Don't you hand me that garbage. Scripture makes it very clear we're to dig and dig and dig until we get to the truth. I don't accept any English translation. In fact, to be quite honest, I have not found an English translation yet that I agree with 100%. None! Farrar Fenton made mistakes. Pastor Harrell, in his Annotated Standard Translation, makes mistakes. First of all, he uses the word Jew. If the word Jew is there, in there, it's already polluted. If it doesn't tell the truth about the Genesis story, it's polluted. King James is one of the worst offenders of these pollutions. How many English translations get the commandment about adultery right? How many English translations come right out and say race mixing is an abomination? I haven't found one yet, so please tell me, where is it? Where is that English translation that gets Exodus correct, where the commandments that were etched in stone, the commandment was don't mongrelize. Don't mongrelize animals. Don't mongrelize plants. Don't mongrelize your children. You're not supposed to create hybrids of anything. Where is the English translation that gets that right? I've got a lot of translations on my shelves, and now electronically, I haven't found one yet that gets that right. So if you know of an English translation that gets that right, please contact me and let me know where it's at. So therefore, if no English translation can even get one of the Ten Commandments, that's all, just ten, can't get them right, or where it says, honor your father and mother, do they have a footnote that that's talking about Abraham and Sarah? Does your Bible have that footnote in there? And the references to Scripture where Abraham and Sarah are referred to as our great father and great mother of our race, of the portion of the Caucasian race that's of Jacob? Does there any footnote in your English Bible tell you that? Then you don't have a correct translation, because that's what it was talking about. Honor your racially pure mother and father who obeyed the leading of the Holy Spirit and Yahweh over materialism. Abraham and his wife left a pretty good life. They were well off. Lots of money, lots of prestige, lots of property. They walked away from it. Honor your mother and your father. Is it talking about these derelicts that are parents that we have today? Not all parents, obviously. But many of these parents out here are guilty of what? They're guilty of race mixing. They're guilty of drug abuse. They're guilty of alcoholism. They're guilty of Satan worship in the form of worshiping Jews. Okay? You've got lots of parents out there. So the church world is telling you that honoring your father and mother means the people that gave you birth. All that means is that in a fit of lust, they got pregnant and had you. How does that mean that I'm supposed to honor that? If they're not teaching me the truth, why should I honor them? If they don't believe in Yahweh and his truths and teach it and learn it for themselves, why am I supposed to honor them? Again, I'm asking the question. I want you out there listening to let me know. Educate me. Why am I supposed to honor any person on earth, whether they're my father and mother or not, any person walking this earth, why am I supposed to honor them when they don't honor the living God? Case in point, Robert David Steele, why are you honoring Christ haters? Please explain that to me. I know you got credentials, you were with the CIA, you were an officer, you're an author, you're an intelligent man, but you need to contact me and fill me in on what you know that I don't know. Because I read the book, it doesn't differentiate one Jew from another. My study of history doesn't differentiate one Talmudist from another. My understanding of what's in the Talmud doesn't say that any portion of it is worth keeping. And Talmud followers are enemies of those of faith, meaning the true faith in our Father above. Talmudists cannot coexist on this earth with us. They really can't, or else they're not Talmudists. So, Robert David Steele, are you telling me that these people that you call good Jews, are they walking away from the rabbis and the Talmud? Are they doing like Benjamin Friedman and Brother Nathaniel and Dr. McCow in Canada? Are they speaking out about Talmudic abuse and Zionist abuse in this world? And Jewish murder of Palestinians over in Itzalai? Okay. Is that what you're telling me? Because I don't see them. Other than a very tiny, tiny, tiny handful, I don't see it. I don't see the Talmud thumpers that are doing any good works out there. So you gotta contact me and educate me, please. So in the meantime, change is coming and expect economic change in the very, very near future. Now the X22 Report Spotlight, if you get that YouTube channel, the recent interview that Robert David Steele did, and also about a week before that one, was Jim Willey talking about the economic changes that are about ready to happen and how that affects the world. I thought both of those were two superb interviews, other than the fact that Robert David Steele constantly has to tell us there's good Jews. I wish you'd stop that. If they're good, we can see that. If they're doing righteous works, we can see that. We don't need an apologist to try to tell us that there are good Jews. If there are good Jews, then we'll see it. The problem is that reality doesn't match up with what you're telling us, Robert. Just because you have one or two that you think are good people, you better be careful. You better be careful. There's a lot of people that are dead in the grave or in prisons that trusted Jews, and found out later on that that was not the smartest thing to do. When you have a Jew in the courtroom with you, you have an enemy agent. When you have a Jew in your government, you have an enemy agent, a dual citizen enemy agent within your government. Do you know that? I don't care what government you're talking about, whether it's China, Russia, Europe, South America, Central America, Australia. If you have a Jew in your government, and the Jews are all over the Western civilized world's government, they're all over them. In fact, it's hard. Even Trump can't seem to get away of giving Jews high-level positions in his, quote, administration. And we wonder why nothing is actually fixed. Now, I do ask for somebody out there to enlighten me if I'm wrong. All right? If I've got this wrong, I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong or I've made a mistake. I don't have a problem with that because I'm not a perfect man. But I do do a lot of prayer, research, reading, study, interviews with other people that I consider extremely smart and spiritually connected. That's what I do on a day-to-day basis. I also believe that the Holy Spirit guides me when I put on this headset and I'm talking to you. A lot of these words aren't my words all the time. They just pop into my head. So if I'm wrong, if what I've told you is not correct, then please contact me. Go to the website, PastorDan.net. There's a contact page there. Send me an email and straighten me out. Or ask to be a guest, and you can come on the air with me and correct me in front of everybody. That would be wonderful. That way you can teach everybody listening and me at the same time. Because that's all I care about, is the truth. Even hard truth. Just like the hard truth about mom and dad. I grew up believing in the Methodist Church that honoring your father and mother meant literal mother and father. And did I honor my mother and father? Yeah, I did. Not just because the Bible says so, but because they were honorable people. They were strict disciplinarians. They showed love, but they also showed discipline when it was needed. It was a very loving family. I was blessed. Were they perfect people? No. Nope. They ate pork. They ate shellfish. In fact, I didn't even eat shrimp until I was in high school. And finally, my dad took me to a restaurant that had shrimp. When I was a boy growing up on the farm, nobody had shrimp in the town where I grew up. There were no restaurants with shrimp. At least I never saw it. And it sure as hell was not in the home. So the only time my dad got exposed to that is when we moved away from the farm and we went to the suburbs of Philadelphia. And then we were exposed to all that. So I was kind of coaxed into, for the first time, trying shrimp. Praise Yahweh, I was never tempted to eat clams or oysters or any of that. Never, ever, ever, once. Not even once. That stuff is putrid. Putrid. Also, if anybody has contact with downtown white police, James Lancia, or his friend Jay, or even our good friend Mike in South Carolina, I can't get a hold of these individuals. They've just dropped off the radar, and it's almost as if I'm a pariah to them now. So I don't know if they've been gotten to or if they were fakes from the beginning, which I don't believe, but I got to wonder why all of a sudden they just dropped off the radar screen. So if you have any contacts there, please let me know because I'm very, very curious. Now, keep in prayer the ARC project that we talk about all the time because we've got some new people that are very interested about that. And it actually looks like it could go in the very near future here. So, again, keep it in prayer, and we'll see what happens. Remember this quote coming from Karl Marx, another crypto-Jew, name changer, the 10th plank of his Communist Manifesto, the education of all children from the moment that they can get along without a mother's care shall be in a state institution at state expense. Public school, it's called. Public school. Why in the world would you put your child in public school today? I agree with Coach Dave Dabemir in his Coach Dave Live broadcast every day. He is now saying it as well as many others. Who in their right mind would put their children or grandchildren through the public school system today? That's almost tantamount to child abuse, really. to be honest with you, from a believer's perspective, putting a child in public school is child abuse, because they're not going to learn. They're going to be subjected to all manner of unethical and unclean things. Why would you put your child in that? Why would you turn it over to that? I'm just asking. Again, if you think I'm wrong, tell me where I'm wrong. Caucasian guy says here, what about Jimmy? Jimmy, I'm taking a vacation from Jimmy. I have my reasons. If you were to contact me personally, I could probably tell you, but I'm not feeling led to bring Jimmy back into the fold, so to speak, as far as this broadcast is concerned. There's some problems there. And again, these are personal. Excuse me. Need a drink of water. But for the time being, anyway, until I see some signs of a change of heart, I don't think Jimmy will be back. We are in some really rough times right now. As many people are starting to say, it's a great time to be alive. Why? Because we're going to see the fulfillment of the prophecies, and we're going to see Ezekiel 37's prophecy, and I also believe Isaiah at chapter 13 in the very near future. Richard Buckminster Fuller gave us a great model. I've been spreading this in a lot of the different chat rooms and all that I go to, and people are catching on to this. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. Remember that. They want you to fight against it because you expend your energy in useless activity. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. What is that in the Bible? What does the Bible say? To come out of Babylon so that you do not partake of her plagues. Come out of Babylon. Build a new model. That's the whole premise of the Ark Project. Let's put up on a piece of ground a new model and show people what you can do living according to Yahweh's word. Now, the Christ told us that he was going to be curious as to whether he would find faith upon the earth when he returns. Excuse me. And I say the same thing when it comes to the Ark Project. Will we find enough faith to do it? Because a lot of people, we haven't even turned one shovel of dirt over. In fact, we haven't even purchased land yet, and already we have people that are fearful. We haven't even turned over one shovel full of dirt on building the ark. It'd be like Noah. Not even one piece of wood has been nailed together to build the ark, and already people are afraid that the beast might be offended. Will I find faith upon the earth when I return? Damn good question, isn't it? Will I find faith? Will we have enough faith to build an ark? Even if we have the people with the finances and the lands available and the desires to do it, will they have enough faith to do it? Or will they cower in fear that the beast might not like it? Guess what? The beast doesn't like you already. Most of you listening to this program anyway, I'm going to assume you're Caucasian. You're a white man or woman. They hate you already. They're already calling for your extermination. If you believe in the teachings of the Bible, you're also marked for extinction. They hate you already. Given a chance, the Bolsheviks, when they take over, they will line you up, you, your family, your children, your grandchildren, and they will execute you, just like they did the Russians, just like they did the Ukrainians, by the multiple tens of millions of innocent souls butchered by these Bolshevik Zionist pigs. And you don't think they're going to do that to you? So, I don't know about you folks, but taking a step of faith and building an ark, All right. If the beast wants to come against Yahweh's creation, let them. I personally think we have more power than we give ourselves credit for. Yahweh put Adam here with the authority to implement his law. Adam, the white man. Not the white woman, the white man. The white woman is supposed to support the man in doing exactly that. Implementing Yahweh's law. That was the prime rule. That was the prime motive for Yahweh to even put Adam here. And yet we've turned over control of this poor earth to the worst, to the cacistocracy, folks, to the derelicts, the degenerates, the perverts. That's what we've done. We've turned our back on the Satanists and given them control, and we're not fighting back. Adam is shirking his duty. How long do you think the wicked could get away with what they're doing if Yahweh's people simply stood up and said that we're not giving you our support? In fact, we're going to do everything we can to tear down your kingdom, to tear down your power structure, to tear down your Babylonian money system. Instead, what are our people doing? Oh, they're running out for the latest cell phone. They're running out for the latest computer, the latest tablet, the latest software. New cars. Do they need a new car? No, but they just want one because it's got more toys and more bells and whistles on it. So I want a new car. It looks new. It smells new. So I'm going to spend all kinds of money and all kinds of usury interest to get that car. That's what our people are all about. They're falling all over themselves, chasing after the Jew and their shekels. When gold and silver no longer glitter in our eyes, when we no longer love money, which is the root of all evil, by the way, the love of money, not money itself. Money bought this computer. Money bought the internet access. Money bought the headphone I'm using. So money's not evil. But loving money is evil. Lusting after money is evil. You got a government full of money lusters. Full of them. And every Jew I've ever met walking this earth loves money. There may be a few out there that don't, but I haven't met them yet. So again, if you know one that doesn't love money, that wants to give away their money to charity, wants to give it away to you maybe, help you get a new piece of property or maybe a repair on your car. Again, if they're out there, please let me know. I would love to know. I will share it with everybody on the station. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it. The stereotypical statements about Jews in my lifetime has been 100% true. Deceivers, liars, Christ haters, stingy, parsimonious, deceivers, thieves, destroyers, rapists, perverts, degenerates. Okay? Now, when you find them that aren't that way, let me know. I had a relative one time tell me that they knew a cardio surgeon, retired now, but he was a good man because he befriended another member of the family. I said he was a good man, but he did what now? Oh, he did open heart surgeries. Oh, so he befriended a relative, so that makes it okay that he was cutting people open and doing heart surgery. Did he tell them about the natural ways to fix their hearts? Did he tell them about the better diet that might fix their hearts? By the way, my daughter, the nurse, told me that her latest class she attended, given by an oncologist, a woman who is an oncologist, which means cancer doctor, said that they are changing their attitude lately, at least in her circles, to where they are questioning patients, new patients, about their personal habits and their diets. And they're trying to get them on a plant-based diet. organic, plant-based diet. Imagine that. Imagine that. I about fell out of my chair. How many years have we been talking about that and people look at us like we're crazy? And now there's actually an oncologist that said that. And when I was attending to my poor sister that passed on in the hospital, the neurologist that was in her room talking to a bunch of interns admitted that statin drugs can be duplicated by red rice yeast, which is a natural product from the natural health food store. Red rice yeast will do exactly the same thing as the particular statin that he was talking about to the interns. I about fell out of my chair on that one. An actual doctor admitted that some people don't like pharmaceuticals and they can go down to the health food store and get something that does exactly the same thing, except the natural does not have side effects. In almost every case, the natural has zero side effects. Whereas your pharmaceutical, not so. Your pharmaceuticals will have a ton of side effects, and many of them life-threatening, including a tendency to commit suicide. Gee, what's up lately? Military suicides higher than they've ever been. Wartime or peacetime. Highest suicide rates in the history of the country in our military right now. Over 22 a day. A day. Do you think the pharmaceuticals might have something to do with it? 50%, according to what I read, 50% of our military are on drugs of one kind or another. 50%. Our population, our general population is on pharmaceutical drugs, and it also has a dramatic increase in suicide rate. I'm just saying, it's sort of curious to me when I see that there's a correlation there. Now, if I'm wrong, again, contact me. I'll be glad. If you're smarter than I am, I'll be glad to yield, okay? If you see something I don't see, again, I will yield to your wisdom and your insight. But praise be to Yahweh, either I'm not reaching very many people, or everybody that I am reaching agrees with me, because I haven't had too many people send me any kind of disagreement over the things we talk about here. So I'm going to take that as a sign that maybe I'm on the right path. But here again, don't be bashful. If you think I'm wrong, contact me. I have no problem with that. Okay, the phone lines are open if anybody has a comment or question, something they want to share, or if they need a prayer request or something explained out of the Word. Now's the time to do it. I mean, that's what we're here for. This is, as my listeners tell me often, this is our church, so to speak. This is, I shouldn't use the word church. That's actually that's an archaic word that means circle. Church comes from a ancient word that means circle, and the circle used in pagan rituals. So the very building is named after where people got together for pagan rituals in ancient times. Imagine that. Let's just call it our congregation, our gathering, our ecclesia. Ecclesia is the called out ones, the saints. Gathering of the saints would be much more appropriate. So the call-in information, call-in number is area code 605-472-5300, 472-5300, and the access code is 649-249. Again, 649-249. So, dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity on this bright day to reach out with our brothers and sisters to have this meeting of the Ecclesia. We thank you for all of those that you're lifting up right now, those that are suffering from injury or illness. We ask that you would bless them with a healing, especially if they're doing things right, Father. If they're not doing things right, then send them a messenger, an angel, that will tell them what they should be doing and give them enough discernment to know the right things from the wrong. We ask that you give us courage in this time of fear and fearfulness because of all the misinformation and the propaganda by the enemy, the beast. Give us clear discernment that we can look through the lies and deceptions. Give us wisdom. Give us a compassion for the innocent, the widows and the orphans out there that are being abused by the system, as this Jew Jeffrey Epstein case is just the tip of the iceberg, Father. May you pull it down and may these criminals pay for what they have done to the most innocent of our people. All over this earth, these people are criminals, they're monsters, and they need to be dealt with severely and quickly. Justice delayed is justice denied. So may it be swift and may it be severe, and may it be done in the name of Yahweh, our El Shaddai. Forgive us our sins and our stumblings and our weaknesses, Father. Help us to overcome them. Help us to grow and learn in wisdom on a daily basis. Help us to reach out to our brothers and sisters in fellowship. And always we ask, Father, stay close to us. Stay holding our hands as we go forward and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name we pray. Hallelujah.